Last week, Tim spoke about Romans chapter 9, and he talked through most of Romans chapter 9. He talked about some difficult things in there, which even grown-ups find hard to understand sometimes. Well, today, my task is to talk about the same chapter for the children and young people. So that feels like a tough assignment. But I'm going to focus just on a couple of verses in Romans chapter 9, and they're up here. Romans 9, verse 8. It's not the children by physical descent who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. I'm going to explain that. And then we're going to go on and talk about verse 16. It does not, therefore, depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy or God's grace. We've been hearing about God's grace, and we saw the film which showed us how God gives us things which we do not deserve. That's what grace is. So that's what we're doing today. Children and young people. Now, I want you to put your hand up if you're good. Yep, there's one. Yep, excellent. Yep, excellent. Good. Well, there's the one over there I recognize. Yep, excellent. We've got lots of good children and young people. Good for you. Perhaps you help your mums and dads. You don't hurt your brother or sister if you have one. You come to church. You do all of those sorts of things, and you're good, and that's very helpful. Excellent. Well done. Keep on being good, because your parents will be blessed by you. And keep on coming to church, because you'll hear about God's word. Those are good things to do. But I'm sorry to say that this chapter in Romans chapter 9 has got a warning. Some bad news for good people. Let me put that up on the screen. Bad news for good people. Paul was writing this chapter to Jewish people a long time ago, and he was giving them a strong warning. They thought that they were good people because they were God's chosen people. They were the Jews, and they were descendants of Abraham, and they said, "We're descendants of Abraham. We are good people. God loves us. We're special." And they thought this because they remembered that God had said to their great, 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 actually it's 27 greats or about that, grandfather Abraham. God had said to Abraham, their ancestor, a long time ago, hundreds of years before, that God would be their God and Abraham's family would be God's people forever. That's why they thought, they, the Jews, thought that they were good, and that's all they had to do, be descendants of Abraham, and they were. But unfortunately, the Jews had misunderstood. They hadn't understood God properly. And Paul explains this in this chapter in Romans chapter 9. In verse 7, in fact, he says, "Not all the descendants of Abraham are his true children." It's not good enough just to be a descendant of Abraham for to be part of God's family. That would be like us thinking that if our parents are Christians and bring us to church, then we're Christians too, and we're fine. And that's not the case. It's sadly the case that sometimes Christian parents have children who decide when they grow up that they don't want to be Christians, they don't believe in God. That's very sad. And it's exciting that there are many people who don't have Christian parents who decide God chooses them, and they decide they want to follow God and become part of God's family. Those people are Christians. That's wonderful. So this bad news has got two parts. Being a good person doesn't make us a Christian. And just because we've got Christian parents doesn't make us a Christian. If we're relying on those things, we're in great danger. And in verse 2 of this chapter, Paul tells us how sad he is about that for the Jews. "Because I am very sad," he said, "the great pain in my spirit never leaves me." This was because there were many Jews who didn't believe in Jesus. Even though they were Jews, they were part of God's original chosen race. And God said, "No, I'm choosing all the people who believe in Jesus." And the Jews were in the greatest danger because they were taking God's grace for granted. And we are in great danger too if we think that God will save us if we're good people or if we go to church. Now, that's not the end of what Paul says. There is actually also some very good news in this chapter for bad people. Now, all the rest of you who didn't put up your hands earlier when I said, are you good? I expect that you are, well, not to put too fine a point on it, bad people. I don't want to go into details here, but it may be that you've done things that you're ashamed of. Maybe you've tried to be good and you're just not very good at it. That's like me, I've tried to be good and it doesn't work, not for very long. And in the end, you decided perhaps that naturally you're just not a good person. Well, this chapter's got some very good news for you. Romans 9, verse 8, that's that verse up there, says, it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's children. Now, we need to understand what this promise was. You don't have to be a descendant of Abraham. It's something about a promise. The Jews had thought that the promise was that all of Abraham's children and descendants would be God's people. But Paul said, no, you're misunderstanding. We need to understand this promise better. Now, we have to go right back to Genesis chapter 12, near the beginning of time. And God promised to Abraham in chapter 12 that Abraham would have many, many descendants. So many he couldn't even count them. And he also said, as part of the promise, all the people on earth will be blessed through you. Now, Abraham didn't really understand that properly, but God was talking about Jesus, who was a descendant of Abraham's, who was going to be a blessing to people all over the earth, not just the Jews. Now, Abraham was very old, and even older than me, and he didn't have any babies, any children at all, so he was puzzled about this. And eventually Abraham thought, as my wife doesn't have any babies, I better go and have a baby with somebody else. And he did. And that baby was called Ishmael, and he grew up. And when Ishmael was 14, or thereabouts, God came back and said, I'm not happy about that. That's not what I promised. I promised that you and your wife, Sarah, would have a baby, and that through that line, through that baby, all the earth would be blessed. And Abraham, by now, was very, very old, and Sarah, his wife, was very old too, and they thought this was impossible. But God said, I promised, and my promises come true. And this is the... And God said, you're going to have a baby said to Abraham and Sarah, you are going to have a baby next year. And they did. They were very surprised, and they called that baby Isaac. Now, God didn't choose Ishmael to be the line from which Jesus would come. He chose Isaac. Isaac was the one he promised, and it was through Isaac that Jesus was born. If you look in Luke chapter 3, you see all the descendants, all the ancestors, rather, of Jesus. And you can go all the way back and you see Isaac and Abraham was there. They were ancestors of Jesus. So what's this got to do with good news for bad people? God's promise to Abraham from the very beginning was always pointing to Jesus. Paul tells us that that the people who God chooses to be part of his family are those who trust in that promise, trust in Jesus. It doesn't matter who our parents are. It doesn't matter if we are Jews. It doesn't matter even if we're good people, because actually none of us are very good at being good. It doesn't matter if we've got Christian parents. None of those things matter. What matters is if we believe in God's promised Saviour. Hiya. Somebody waving to me. So this passage is a challenge to us. He's saying, are we taking God's grace for granted? Because if we're good people, we go to church, we help our mums and dads, and all of those sorts of things, that's wonderful. But it's not enough. What matters is trusting in Jesus and his grace. We understood from the film what grace was. We cannot save ourselves from our sin, but Jesus can. And that's very good news for bad people. Agree? If you agree, you say, Amen.
Amen.
Hey, excellent. Now, to those of you who were good people and put up your hand, you carry on being good because you are going to be a blessing to your mum and dad. That's excellent. Don't stop doing those things. We need to try and be as good as we can, but we need Jesus' help. to really be good, don't we? It doesn't come naturally to us. I'm going to put you down, see where you wander. There. Now, the third point. Sermons always have 3 points. The third point, and people, grown-ups even, get very tangled up in their minds about this, is that this chapter tells us that God chooses who he wants to be part of his family. It's not we who choose, it's God who chooses. And that's confusing. So, third point. It does not therefore depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy. God chooses those he wants. Now, that's strange, isn't it? It doesn't feel like that to us at the time. If you were a Christian, can you remember back to the time when you became a Christian? Did you feel like you decided to be a Christian? Probably. I certainly did. Let me tell you briefly about how I became a Christian. Long ago, last century, 45 years ago actually, someone told me about Jesus. In fact, I still know that person who told me about Jesus, and she's sat right over there. Her name is Barbara. And now she's my wife, but back then she wasn't. Ooh. But 45 years ago, yes, she told me about Jesus. And when she first told me, I wasn't very interested. But she took me along to church, and she told me about things. And I began to get interested. And I read some of the Bible, and I read some Christian books, things like that. And I talked with people, and I tried to pray and found it difficult. And I tried to be good, and I found that was impossible. And eventually I said to God, I'm not any good. Please will you save me? As the Bible says, Jesus died for me. I'm sorry that I'm no good. Will you forgive me? And Jesus did. And that's when I became a Christian. I decided to give my life to God, to Jesus, in August 1972. And I've been a Christian since then, praise God. That's when I decided to be a Christian. So I decided. Actually, later on, I discovered it wasn't quite as simple as that. This chapter in Romans tells us, I didn't decide, God decided. And I'm thinking, eh? That doesn't make sense. I've just told you I decided in August 1972 to become a Christian. Well, after I became a Christian, I gradually realized it was more complicated. What I didn't know was that Barbara had been praying for me. And in fact, my dad had been praying for me. And some other Christians had been praying for me. Then I asked later on, I asked Barbara, why was she praying for me? And she said, well, I loved you and I was worried about you because your life was going all wrong. And I felt I had to pray for you. I felt compelled to pray for you. That's what she said. So I was very puzzled. And then I was thinking, I wonder why she felt compelled to pray for me. Well, who do you think did that? It was God. That was before I decided to be a Christian. God had been telling Barbara and some other people to pray for me, to take me to church, to tell me about Jesus and those sorts of things. Now I look back and think, it wasn't me who decided. It was God who decided. It was God what won it. That's an old reference for those of you who can remember those things anyway. It was God who did it. It really was. Now, before I finish, I want to say something to those of you who might be thinking, but what if God has not chosen me? If you're not a Christian yet and you're worried about that, you might be thinking, how do I know if God has chosen me? Am I doomed? Is there anything I can do about it? I just want to reassure you. If you feel even the slightest interest in Jesus, the slightest inclination to seek him out, the slightest inclination to seek out God, then be reassured that is God's work in you. That does not come to us human beings naturally. Naturally speaking, we're not interested in God and we're not good. We don't go seeking God, he comes seeking us. And he puts that interest in us. That desire for him is God-given. Now, do you think that if God gives you a desire for him, then when you say, I want to be a Christian, do you think he's going to say, actually, I haven't chosen you? No way. If he's giving you that interest, if he's calling you to be a Christian, he is absolutely, 100%, definitely calling you. He is choosing you. Do not be worried about it. He is calling you. But what do you have to do in response? Don't reject him. Don't turn away from him, because that way you would be doomed. Rather, reach out to him in confidence that he will take hold of you, forgive your sin, count you as righteous, like he did Abraham, and make you a member of God's family. Chosen, loved, sons and daughters of God, brothers and sisters of Jesus, chosen to be part of his family. You reach out and he's there. You cannot rely on being good. You can't rely on going to church. You can't rely on having Christian parents. You can't rely on being a Jew. But we can rely on Jesus' grace and on his mercy. It does not depend on human effort. It depends on God's mercy, on his grace. We can rely on the fact that when we ask God to forgive us for our sins and make us part of his family, he has chosen us because he was the one who called us to himself. Isn't God good? Amen. If you agree, amen. 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 Thank you.